Yusuf is between the twilight zone of death and life. He might make it to see another sunrise, or he might not.
You have reached the mailbox of
Mulana Junaid.
At the tone of
Junaid's phone is off. Oh no, it's Tarawih time. I won't be able to get hold of him for another hour. How am I going to explain this to him? What am I going to do? Please, sir, keep him alive. He just looks so pale, so still. What? You're leaving now? Okay, I'm coming with you guys. Yusuf, I'm coming. Don't die. Please, just don't.
The minutes pass by in excruciating slowness. Faisal has to be forced to leave the unconscious Yusuf's side. At last, he gets hold of Maulana Junaid, and he finds him outside, staring listlessly into the night.
There you are. I've been looking for you everywhere. So, did they allow you to see Yusuf? Junaid?
Oh, what?
Did they allow you to see Yusuf?
No, they're not allowing anyone in. And they're not answering questions as well. He's still in theater.
They barred me from going up again for like another 2 hours or something.
Faisal, who shot Yusuf? And don't lie to me, please. It was no robbery. I know of a Victor who came to see your house earlier on.
Yusuf took the bullet for me. Victor was... he was aiming at me.
You're not, Faisal. I have nothing to say to you.
Junaid, don't be like this. I wish I had died with that bullet.
Really? And die with your record as a drug dealer who can't keep his family together? Do you think anyone would have been sad if you died? Except the guys you owe money to.
Why are you being so cold? Now, when I need your support, you're being mean to me. You never spoke to me like this in your entire life.
Because my entire life, I always try to keep in mind that you're my older brother, whom I'm supposed to respect. When I went to madrasa, I learned that my older brother is the status of a father and deserves the same deference. But right now, I find it very hard to respect you. If Yusuf doesn't make...
He'll make it, he'll love. Don't even think like that. Look, I've organized some of the best doctors for him.
That's the way you roll. Always throwing money at something or someone, and you think everything's fine. Life and death is not in doctors' hands, and I don't doubt everything must go at its appointed time. But if I lose my nephew, who's like a son to me, I'll find it very hard to forgive you. Because there's 1,000 ways to die, and thus shouldn't have been one of it. Taking a bullet for a criminal.
I'm not a criminal. I'm not. Where are you going? Junaid, wait!
Maulana walks away, not heeding Faisal. It's true, there are 1,000 ways to go. Will ours be a good ending? We have no guarantee, but we can live a good life, so we can die a good death, inshallah. Yes, Islam teaches us to forgive and forget, but sometimes we are hurt so irrevocably that this is a hard task. Islam is a deen of practicality and takes this into account. You don't have to behave in the same informal way with the person as before, but you should forgive, make salam, and exchange general pleasantries. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, Hamza radiallahu anhu, was savagely killed and mutilated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely grieved to the extent that he read janazah salah 70 times for his uncle. Later on, the man who killed Hamza radiallahu an, Wahshi, accepted Islam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him to the fold of Islam, but requested that he conceal his face in the assembly of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because every time he saw his face, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reminded of the day his uncle was killed. Wahshi complied with the request and spent the rest of his life trying to elevate the glory of Islam and also kill the man that falsely claimed to be a prophet so that he might make up for the anguish he caused to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn from this that it's okay to be human and that when we make tawbah, we need to change the directions of our lives in total. Lip service tawbah is empty. Faisal is starting to feel the limits of his power and prestige. Watching his normally calm brother walk away from him affects him profoundly, and he feels the loss of someone who has no one. He dials Gori's number.
You have reached the mailbox of...
What do I do? Where do I turn to? Doc, stop! Please, can you tell me...
Sorry, can you take the queries to the reception?
Please. Hey, the doctor also doesn't want to know me now.
Dejected, alone, unwanted, and bewildered, Faisal walks to the hospital Jamaatkhana and slumps against the wall, only with his thoughts for company. He recalls a relationship that he forgot to nurture, the one whose house he stood in for many years, facing towards, but with an empty heart and distracted mind. He feels the first year of redemption roll down his cheek, and then the dam bursts. He cries bitterly and regretfully and lifts his hands up in dua.
Oh Allah, please forgive me. Forgive me. I have nowhere to turn to, no comfort, no hope, except with you, O Allah. Help me. I feel like a drowning man. My own family doesn't even want to know me. I will be disgraced in the eyes of the people when they come to know what I hid for so long. O Allah, save me from the humiliation. O Allah, you give without the one asking deserving. I sinned against you night and day, and my conscience still went to sleep. Today, the very one I disobeyed, I ask for forgiveness from. Who else can be so kind, so generous? Oh, let my nephew live. I promise to change my life. Please, please show me the way out from the darkness clawing my soul. I won't stop begging from you. I won't stop begging from you till you open the doors of your mercy for me.
Never look down at anyone. We don't know when they might change. Faisal cries and pleads with Allah to wipe out his evil legacy. His heart yearns for Hidayah, and Hidayah must come to the one that wishes for it actively. Meanwhile, back at Mulana's house, Choti is informing Gori about what had happened to Yusuf.
Gee, Junaid still didn't come back as yet. I phoned him just now and he said he still doesn't know exactly what's the story with Yusuf. That poor child, such a good boy. You really find young people like him. He always goes out of his way for us. I feel so bad that he had to get caught in his uncle's mess. I hope Layla is helping you and not giving you a hard time. Not at all. In fact, Adi and Layla just finished Tarawih and they're reading Yasin now. Junaid said there's no point in the girls going to the hospital, and I said I won't go till he comes out of theatre. So we're just reading from here for him. Mashallah, I can't believe my Layla is actually reading Quran. They were both shaken up when Junaid phoned. Even I'm still in shock. He's so young and fit, and it happened so unexpectedly. Choti, what must I do about Faisal? How many more lives will he destroy? I could have been the one that was shot tonight, you know that? I didn't even tell my father what happened. I just pretended that I came to see him because he wasn't feeling well. I don't think he really believes me, but he didn't even say anything. What can I tell you, Gori? I'm at a loss. I'm just making lots of dua that Allah makes a way out of all your difficulties. It's hard, but don't give up. This is a month of mercy. Just keep reading. It will give you strength, inshallah. Inshallah. Choti, let me go and sit and read now too. Hopefully Yusuf will be okay.
When problems crush us and the world seems to have narrowed, remember that there is always a way out. Every problem and difficulty must come to an end, no matter how long it might take. Turn to Allah in good times, and He will readily listen to your call in distress. Allah is so great, so merciful, that even the one who is unmindful of Allah, but when he or she calls Allah Ta'ala in desperation and with sincerity, then the call is most certainly answered. Allah Ta'ala himself promises in the Quran, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. It is him who answers the call of the distressed one and wipes out evil.
Leila, your mother gave salams and said she'll call you later. Have you girls finished reading Yasin?
Gee, we did, Mummy. Any news about Yusuf?
Nothing is yet. Just make dua. I'm going to sleep now for a bit. When your father phones, wake me up.
Chotima, where's my father?
He's at the hospital. Do you want to phone him?
No. Oh, I can't even look at him now. Let's rather not even talk about it, please.
Okay, I understand. Right, girls, I'm off. Adi, there's something for your father in the oven. When he gets back, make it hot and give it to him.
Gee, okay, Mommy. Come, Leila, let's go lie down for a while. Good idea, Adi. I'm so exhausted. It's been a hectic 2 days. I can't even imagine how your father must be feeling.
Gee, my father is like a saint. He must be really devastated about Yusuf. They were really close.
I feel awful now about all those times we laughed and made fun of him just because he's so good.
I know. Maybe it was our guilty conscience because we can't be like him. I used to do that so often, mock at someone when they were doing the right thing. I think it was just my guilt that would make me do that so I wouldn't feel bad and introspect.
I know exactly how you feel. I used to do that to you a few years back, but I assure you, Adi, I can see you're changing, and this time I won't be anything but supportive to you.
Wow, Leila. Jazakallah. What brought this on?
A lot of thinking, and I'm looking through these letters from Hannah, and wow, she's really something else, hey? I always thought the Taliban were bad, anti-woman radicals. Why didn't you tell me the facts about them?
Well, I didn't think you would be interested.
Yeah, a valid point. But listen to this, right? She says the Taliban were only formed in 1992, and that too because the people insisted they wanted them as leaders.
Like, isn't that amazing? Because the media always says how locals hated them.
What's more amazing is that the Taliban came about because a few young girls had been abducted by warlords and their families came to Mullah Omar to get justice for them. And that's how it started.
It's remarkable, seriously. You know what's really sad? The country was just getting back on its feet and then America bombs it back to rubble again. Just a few days before Ramzan, knowing fully that that's the period of fasting for Muslims.
But then, Adi, what about the Twin Towers? Isn't that wrong? How can anyone who calls himself Muslim do that?
Exactly. These Mujahids are the best of Muslims and would never do something which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade.
And what's that?
The killings of civilians, and that too on such a large scale. In every court of justice, evidence must be found before sentencing is done. But without evidence, the accused and convicted the Taliban and Al-Qaeda as masterminds of the attack?
But didn't they find the passports of the guys who did it?
You remember the pictures were all over the newspapers at that time? How did passports survive the crash, but not a single person? How come the black box of the planes were never recovered, but tiny passports were?
Wow, I never thought of that. I can't believe how I bought all that the TV said about 9/11.
Yeah, you know, that's the greatest threat to the West. Free-thinking minds. What about the prisoners that were treated like animals in Guantanamo? Does anyone care anymore?
Remember we watched the DVD, Road to Guantanamo? Oh, it was so freaky. I can't imagine what prison life must be like.
Believe me, Leila, that documentary was a watered-down version of what really goes on there. That place is not a prison. It's a place of torture. Hey, your phone is ringing. It must be Zach.
Let me see. Oh, no, it's my mom. I haven't heard from Zach since this morning, hey? Hello, Mommy.
People can often be judged by the contests of their favorite topics. The cousins, for the first time ever, have moved past their favorite topics of gossip, movies, and sports to something that uses more moral and brain power. Zakaria is at the hospital, having rushed over with Huzaifa as soon as they hear about Yusuf. Zach sees Maulana Junaid.
Maulana! Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Is there any news of Yusuf?
No, nothing as yet. It's frustrating because no one has to say what's going on. And we don't know what to think at all. All Faisal could say was he was shot in the chest.
In the chest? Ish. Okay, let me see what I can do. I'll give my friend a call. He works here.
Jazakallah, man. I appreciate it. Maaf, Zakaria, who's this?
Oh, this is my brother, Huzaifa.
Oh, okay. Assalamu alaikum, man. Oh, gee, it's been a long time since I saw you. I didn't recognize you, Maaf. Yusuf talks about you all the time.
While Maulana is talking to the brothers down the passage in the Jamaat Khana, Faisal is still knocking on the door of forgiveness, crying and pleading. The weight of his sins and worry about his nephew feel like a mountain crushing him. He wonders how he will ever be forgiven. But the door of forgiveness is open right now, till the appearance of the angel of death. And no matter how far gone we are, no matter how much we have sinned, no matter how hard our hearts are gone, there is still hope. For Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And say to my slaves who have exceeded themselves in sin, don't despair from the mercy of Allah. Faisal feels a hand on his shoulder.
Junaid, how long have you been here?
Just walked in, man. Faisal, I'm sorry about speaking to you like that earlier, na?
No, don't apologize. Whatever you said was true.